This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Look who's here. Special guest on a Friday night, Will Hill in studio for the next 4 hours. You and I have done Friday night shows together for a few years. And this is the first time you've been in studio on a Friday night. You got your whole family here for Bet Bash Week. How's the week been for the Hill family?
The week has been good. It's been fun. It's been fun to put a face to some of the names you meet, you know, Vinny Maliulo and, listeners of the show, people you talk to on Twitter, interact with, watch Thomas Gabe. I mean, you go down like a list, 10, 15 people that I've talked to. I feel like I know even Sammy P. I talk to Sammy P all the time. Jeff Schwartz. I feel like I know these guys like, you know, their best friend. I've never met them in person.
Never met Sammy P in person?
Not until recently.
I didn't know.
It's just kind of how Twitter works and just the age of Zoom. And you feel like you know these people, but it's good to actually, you know, meet up and have a drink. I was able to get my kids kicked out of their first bar the other night, which was good, which I think you witnessed. But it's been fun. It's been really good.
I didn't realize it until you told me, or the Bear told me, Wednesday night? It's the first time the Bear Bets podcast crew had ever been together in person. Chris Felica, Sammy P, you and Jeff Schwartz. And you guys had a photo take. And you've done that podcast for how many years?
Yeah, a few years, but I'm more of like a rotating guest now. And the first year or two, we would just all do it remote. I guess Jeff and Bear would do it together. But this was nice to be with those four guys and, you know, again, see a bunch of people. It's been cool.
Are you involved in a Bet Bash other than the panel you did with Bear Bets crew a couple nights ago? Have you been up to some of the Bet Bash festivities and hanging out with a bunch of the guys?
Not really, other than just going up there and saying hi to some people and getting shaking hands and meeting some people. Other than that, I've met as many people just doing these spots coming out of here and just bumping into people as anything. But it's great for networking. Again, great to see all these people.
It's a great thing to get people together in the sports betting industry. And the one thing I've heard more than anything this week is, wow, Will Hill is jacked. Didn't realize he was that big.
Well,
they see you on TV and all they see is your head.
Put on a couple pounds, not just the arms. I put on a couple pounds elsewhere, but I got to rein that in. But yeah, it's been good. And, you know, it's funny. Everyone on Twitter, there's a lot of, you know, it's a contentious space sometimes, gambling Twitter. And then you meet people and everyone is just super nice. So it's amazing. Twitter's just not real life sometimes.
Well, the trolls are not hanging out.
Yeah, exactly.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
The Twitter trolls not hanging out saying, hey, Will, I rip you all the time on Twitter.
Yeah, it's great to meet you in person. Exactly.
No. Hey, the Boston Red Sox might never lose again. You and I are Yankees fans, but you have to admire what the Red Sox are doing right now. And hopefully you're betting on the Red Sox. At least once in a while, because they're 26-3 in the last 29 games. And last night, that might have been the best game of the entire MLB season. With the Red Sox outlasting the White Sox 12-11 in extra innings, back and forth game the entire way. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the entire thing, but Tim Murray and I were on the air last night, and I said at the end, I'm not sure if I've seen a better baseball game the entire season.
It was great between the Hall of Fame game ending, and that was really a fun back and forth game. Unless you had the Cardinals and you lost on the last play, and you're thinking, "Man, I hope this is not a preview of how the rest of the season is going to go." And I'm sure people have that feeling, you know, when you lose your first game that fashion. But that was fun. The game last night was fun. And this team was 32-46 on June 24th, and now they never lose. I mean, we always say this: baseball's a long season. It's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason. Baseball is a long season. They look unbeatable. I mean, on one hand, man, you can't sustain this. You can't win every day. And it's almost like, man, you're peaking too early. But some bets, and I haven't really shopped this, but I saw this at Caesars where I'm staying. Cubs over the Red Sox in the World Series is 100-1. Red Sox over the Cubs in the World Series is 150-1. I don't mind that as a flyer. Both those teams look pretty impressive right now.
Are you going to bet it?
I think I am going to bet it. I just worry about...
You got to bet a little bit on both sides.
Is that something I can bet and then cash from home, you think?
Where are those numbers up?
Caesars.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, you can send your ticket out here to somebody who can cash it for you.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's one where you got to put a little on both sides. You know, a lot of times we talk about betting the Super Bowl exactus. So you want to bet Rams over Chiefs or something like that. Also bet Chiefs over Rams. Bet both sides of it. I'll tell you why. Right now, the Cubs and the Red Sox, as hot as those two teams are, it wouldn't surprise me to see them in the World Series, right?
Yeah, and again, you worry is, you know, you can't, the Red Sox aren't going to just win every day from now until the end of the season, but you don't have to. You don't have to sustain this. They put themselves in a position where now you can just play well and eventually get Garrett Crochet back. You know, they made some moves at the deadline. They look pretty tough. In the American League, that's wide open. They look pretty damn good.
And the thing about baseball, too, is it's similar to the NCAA tournament. Teams that want to be hot at the right time, right? I always say that rarely in the NCAA tournament does the best team win it. It's the team that gets hot in March and in the first weekend in April. This year, Michigan was the best team, and Michigan won
the
tournament. But that doesn't happen that way every year. In baseball, team that gets hot at the right time, and we'll see if the Red Sox and Cubs are still hot in October. They're hot right now, but you never know what it's going to look like in October. But, man, those teams look good right now. If you want to bet the Red Sox tonight, you got to pay a hefty price, minus 270, right in that neighborhood tonight, total of 8.5. A's and Red Sox at Fenway Park. And why would you bet the A's? They are 7-32 in their last 39 games. The wheels have fallen off the A's. Since that series in Vegas, they have been a train wreck. Pitching has fallen apart. Injuries, the lineup's not what it used to be. Will Hill, would you do anything with this Red Sox side tonight? Would you lay the 1.5, or did you do any, did you bet Boston?
I didn't bet it. Again, you feel like they're due to cool off at some point. It's just you feel like you're paying a tax on Boston, and this is a little inflated. But who, like you said, who the hell wants to bet the A's? What, Perkins going for the A's here? It's not enough for me. Let me ask you this. I'll flip the question on you. What number would you need on the A's where you say, ah, that's too high, I have to bet the A's here? What number would that be?
Hey, I'd have to have about a...
A 3?
+350 or 4-1.
So not this number. You're a good dollar.
+242 is not going to get it.
I think at 3-1, I'd probably bet it. And say, you know what? If they go up 2-0, I can hedge and bet the Red Sox on or something. Yeah, 3-1 would probably be the point.
I can think of better things to do with money than bet it on the A's tonight.
They're terrible. I mean, they're a Triple A team right now. They're, like you said, the injuries, the pitching. I actually like some of the pitchers, Gage Jump and Ginn. Some of those guys aren't bad. It's just they get swallowed up by that ballpark. And now you're throwing the injuries to the offense. It's just it has not gone well. And these teams played not that long ago, end of July. These teams played, and Boston obviously, you know, had a nice series against them.
I think the A's won the first game, and Red Sox won the last two, right? In West Sacramento, Perkins is going for the A's tonight, and it's tough to say that they look like a dog you want to bet. They look like dead dogs the way they played recently. You've got a bet. Now, last night, by the way, the Red Sox beat the White Sox 12-11 in 13 innings. Incredible game. You've got a bet on the Yankees to win the American League East. I was going to ask you, how do you feel about that right now? We talked about this on the show last night. Aaron Judge said, I will be back. I'm going to be back this season. Why wouldn't I be? Right now, the Rays lead the Yankees by 4.5 games. Red Sox are 5 back. How do you feel about your bet that you made a few months ago on the Yankees to win this division?
Not great. I think a lot of it depends, again, when Judge comes back. If he comes back, when he comes back, I think you and I both said, hey, you signed for it Labor Day, or right around there, September 1st, you'd be happy to have him back. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that's going to happen. Stanton, who knows? I mean, Stanton's been gone. Forget it. Witness protection. But I don't know. What grade would you give them for the deadline? I would say B minus C plus. I really like Garcia as a bat. I think that's a guy. Reminds me a little bit of Robbie Cano. Good contact. Mm-hmm. But, and they need a guy who can just hit the ball hard, put the ball in play. They add Ramos, who's okay from the Giants, and they call up Lombard. So it's a different team than it looked like a week ago, but I think they needed to add a reliever. I don't trust this bullpen. I don't trust Aaron Boone going to this bullpen. I'd say B minus, C plus for the deadline. Would have liked another reliever. What was your thought process?
Well, you're a lenient professor.
Yeah, I had a feeling you'd be.
I give the Yankees a C minus.
Okay.
They got the wrong guy from the Giants. They needed Luis Arraez.
Yeah.
And the Phillies got him. Don't let the Phillies get him. He was attainable. The Yankees just had to give up a little bit to get him. He's batting .324 at the deadline. Look at the batting averages in the Yankees lineup. You got to have a guy who hits for average who can get on base at the top of the lineup. They're trotting out this lineup with Trent Grisham batting .190 in the leadoff spot. Our other guy's batting .210 in the leadoff spot. I thought Arraez would have been a good pickup. And also, you got to get an arm for the bullpen, and they didn't do it.
I was surprised they didn't get an arm for the bullpen. I mean, that's one thing. There's a million relievers going. I know there weren't that many sellers. You can tell me it's hard to get bats. There's just not that many teams that are trading. You could have found a reliever there. I was surprised they didn't add a bullpen arm.
I like the Garcia pickup. That was a good one. And definitely had to have a guy who could drive in runs, and that was I give the Yankees a good grade for that. But the rest of the deadline, very uninspiring. What's in action right now in baseball? Mets, Pirates in Pittsburgh. Mets are up 1-0. And that's about it. There's not a whole lot going on yet, but we got a big night of baseball, and we're going to break down all the games here. And our game of the night is going to be in a weather delay at Yankee Stadium, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. That's Braves-Yankees. Max Fried on the mound is a 122 favorite here at Circa. It's Bet Bash week, and a lot of sports bettors hanging around. Also, some celebrities in the sports betting arena. Last night, I ran into Nick Bogdanovich. Billy Walters was here last night. Vinny Maiulo is going in the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame tonight. He's going to be inducted. He's a Hall of Fame guy, if you know Vinny.
Sure is.
Great guy. Great all-around guy. He's going in tonight. Patrick Everson's going to be in studio with us in about 20 minutes. Patrick's a senior reporter for Vegas Insider, also Fox Sports. And he's here to cover Bet Bash, and we will talk about Bet Bash and football futures and all sorts of topics with Patrick here in 20 minutes. Nick Bogdanovich is going to be on the show in the second hour. We have a professional boxer from Las Vegas on the show tonight. How about Rolando Raleigh Romero? He said he's going to take you on, Will.
Oh, man. Yeah. I hope that's not going to happen.
And Grant Mitchell, sports betting handicapper, final hour from Forbes tonight. That's the lineup. Will, I believe this is our last four-hour show on a Friday night. We're going to have some three-hour shows, but I believe the big Swede, Dustin Swedelson, might be coming back on Friday nights, or the Sports Gambling Podcast crew. Either way, this is our last four-hour show. Are you sad?
I am a little sad, but that was news to me, but you know what? We'll make the most of it.
We still have some three-hour shows on Friday nights. All right, quick break here on VSIN Primetime. Back in a few minutes, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Will Hill, Matt Eumanns back here on a Friday night, and it's Bet Bash week, Sports Gambling Hall of Fame induction night. Vinny Maiulo going in the Hall of Fame, and it's great to see that. Well-deserved. Patrick Everson going to be in studio with us in 15 minutes. Let's talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame game last night. And, Will, it was a wild one. Possibly the most entertaining Hall of Fame game in history. I can't recall one better. And last night during the game, I went back and looked. I said during the fourth quarter, this is the highest scoring Hall of Fame game since 2005. Obviously ended up 33-30. Haynes King scrambling for a touchdown, the final play of the game. Kept his knee off the turf, got the ball over the goal line. Definitely scored that winning touchdown last night. And talk about point spread hijinks in the first game of the season. I had the under last night, under 35.5. That's no good. But fortunately, did not play the Cardinals on the side. We had some people trying to talk us into the Cardinals as a play. I stayed away and fortunately stayed away. Did you bet last night's game?
I did. I was talked into the under by Femi Bebefe, so I'll blame him. But hey, I made the bet. Right. But I liked it. We got a good number on it, too. I got 35.5. I saw, I don't know what it closed. I think it creeped back up to 34.5, but it got down to like 32.5 at one point. On Thursday, so I would say it took some sharp money, but it just took money. It didn't take sharp money because that was, when both teams go over the number by themselves, it's not too sharp. But it was fun, a little ACC battle. Carson Beck and Haynes King. Chris Massaro tweeted this, and I had the same feeling, the same thought. I had some long shot tickets on Miami to win it all last year in college football. Mm-hmm. If that Carson Beck was that Carson Beck on the last drive that we saw last night, might have cashed that ticket. But Beck looked good. I would imagine this gives him a little bit of a nudge towards being the starter. That's a brutal schedule for the Cardinals, so you're going to be throwing him to the Wolves. But, hey, he's a rookie. See what you got. You know what you got in Jacoby Brissett. But it was a lot of fun. And for years, the Hall of Fame game was almost like Army-Navy, where it was just you couldn't make the total low enough. It was so low scoring. It was so ugly. I feel like the last 4 or 5 years, it's gone over. You and I were doing the game last year. I think Lions charged like 34-7, went way over. 2 years ago, it was really high scoring, but they had like a weather delay, and they never finished the game. So it's actually trended over. I want to say the last 4 or 5 years, we've had a lot of high-scoring games, and none more high-scoring than last night.
No, last night's game got crazy. Here's the problem with saying that Carson Beck looked so good last night. If he would have played like that in the National – the Indiana defense was better than the defense he faced last night. And the defense he faced last night for the Panthers – are guys who are second, third, fourth stringers, guys who are not going to make the team. And another thing is, in the preseason, you don't blitz, you don't disguise coverages. It's vanilla defense.
Absolutely.
It's easy to pick a defense like that apart. And last night you could say, was it great offense or pitiful defense? I thought it was pitiful defense.
Was
there was a couple plays, like one where threw a swing pass out of the backfield, and there was not a linebacker anywhere in the middle of the field. I mean, that looked like a preseason game between two bad defenses.
Well, and on the final drive, too, not the play where Haynes King ran and scored, which, I mean, you got to be a little bit more prepared for the QB draw. You know he can use his legs.
Right.
There's no time left on the clock, and they were just completely lost. I know.
I think you should have a spy on the quarterback.
I know. The linebackers, like, you're trying to protect against the pass. You're going in two different directions. I get it. It's tough. But the play, like three or four plays before to get them in to that range, Haynes King dropped back the pass, like a little pressure, and then he went up the middle, and there was nobody like on the TV screen.
I know.
And it went from being like second and 16, and I was curious too. I'm sure you guys had the same thought doing the game. If it's fourth and 10, are they going to go for it? Or are they just going to kick a field goal and go for the tie? And with the number on one and a half, obviously a tie is no good if you laid the one and you have to take the money on. So I was thinking that because they went backwards on one play, and then Haynes King bust loose for whatever it was, 30, 40 yards. Nobody in sight, goes out of bounds, and then it comes down to the last play. I think it was Mike Tirico made a good point. He said, hey, there's like 334 games in the NFL between the preseason and the regular season. If this is any preview of how the season's going to go, we're in for a hell of a season. But a tough one if you had the Cardinals, for sure.
Well, the thing is, last night, you bring up a good point, and I was talking about it with Jeff Benson of Circus Sports out here as the game was winding down. I said, if this were 4th and 12, I think the Panthers might just kick the field and walk away with the tie. Maybe. You don't know what Dave Canales is thinking. But a 4th and goal from the, what, 5? What was it?
Yeah.
The 4 or 5, I don't know what it was. You're going to go ahead and go for it and try to get the win because you got 4th and short instead of 4th and 12. DraftKings had up 17-1 odds on a tie last night.
Really? In-game or before the game?
Before the game.
Okay.
Because there's no overtime in the preseason.
Sure. Yeah.
So 17-1 odds on a tie. And if you bet that, you're thinking, hey, good chance it's going to end in a tie.
I know.
But the Panthers have 4th and short and they go for it. Oh, well, on the last play of the game, they got a short distance to cover and they go for it. And it's right call. Panthers looked like they won the Super Bowl last night the way they celebrated.
They were excited.
But it was cool. Tirico and Collinsworth had a great call.
Sure.
It was a good way to start the season, unless you bet the Cardinals or you bet the under last night. But anyway. The Cardinals were a brutal beat to take last night.
Scoreless first quarter, too. If you bet the under, you're thinking, man, scoreless first quarter, this is not that this is going to be easy, but I'm off to a good start. And then all hell breaks loose. So all 63 points, I think, were scored in the second quarter or not, because that was a scoreless first quarter, I believe.
It was a scoreless first quarter, and the Cardinals were at the one-yard line, obviously, on the first play of the second quarter. But the way the first quarter went, you're thinking, all right, under's looking pretty good. The game just blew up. But we've got plenty more NFL preseason games to bet, and I'll be involved in several of them. And we get going next week with full schedules in the NFL preseason. You bet the preseason a little bit, right?
I do. I like it. And if you're doing your homework, man, people say, oh, you know, it's degenerate to bet the preseason. You know, call the gambling hotline. If you do your homework, you can beat the number by a touchdown. You can never do that in the regular season. You're lucky if you're beating the closing line by a point or two in the regular season. Now, it comes with doing your homework, putting the time in, reading the coaching press conferences, because they'll tell you what they're going to do. You know, Andy Reid's not going to give away the game plan in week 5. Andy Reid's going to tell you, though, Mahomes is playing or he's not playing. I'm playing my starter. So you can you can do your homework and you can get some good numbers. And it is beatable, the preseason, which, I mean, you can just look at the limits, and they don't let you bet that much in the preseason.
Right.
There's a reason. I've noticed, though, and maybe this has changed over the last 24 hours, I haven't seen much for week 1 of the preseason. They've been very slow to post stuff, so I don't know if those lines have started to pop up, but I haven't seen a lot for the preseason so far.
No, I don't think you're going to see those till Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll see some of those beginning on Monday. You got information starting to come out on who's going to play, who's not going to play. In fact, you talked about Andy Reid. He said Patrick Mahomes likely not going to play at all in the preseason.
Yeah, makes sense.
And as he recovers from that knee injury. So we'll talk about plenty of NFL preseason next week, but that was a entertaining way to start it last night. By the way, the wait is over. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is here. Sign up for VSiN Pro today and get instant access to our College Football Betting Guide featuring previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason top 50, power ratings, betting systems, best bets from VSiN's sharpest handicappers. Plus, you also get our NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSIN Pro annual subscription. Go to vsin.com/subscribe now. vsin.com/subscribe. Let's update what's happening in baseball as we speak here. The Angels are on the board, and Mike Trout hits a birthday bomb in Miami. Trout, I don't know what to think of Mike Trout at this point. I'm disappointed in the guy, to be honest. You can say one thing about loyalty means a lot, but I also think it's being lazy. He doesn't want to uproot his family. He doesn't want to move. He's comfortable in Anaheim. Are you going to end your career without a playoff win? Why would you want to stay with a losing organization? I thought he should have asked the Angels for a trade. Maybe he gets traded to Philadelphia. He's got a chance to have a memorable postseason. We had Cody Decker on the show last week. He said if Mike Trout wanted to be traded, Angels would have traded him. He wanted to stay. Trout hits a bomb tonight, but again, a meaningless game for the Angels, who are 44-71. They get a 1-0 lead over the Marlins. I was hoping Trout would say, I want to be traded, and we could see Trout in the postseason.
In the old days, our guy George Steinbrenner would say, you know what, he's older, he's owed a lot of money, he's hurt a lot, I don't care, I'll take on the contract. And no more Trent Grisham in center field. We'll put Mike Trout in center field. And Mike Trout will be a Yankee. Yankees would get guys like that all the time. Doesn't happen anymore. Maybe part of it, Trout doesn't want to leave, but I agree. It's a waste. He's played in 3 playoff games in his career. They've lost all 3. I think he's had 14 playoff at-bats. And he was on track to be one of, like, maybe the 5 or 10 best players of all time if you look like the first half of his career. And he's gotten hurt. He's played on bad teams. It's just kind of a boring, unsatisfying end to his career.
I would say for a stretch of about 7 or 8 years, he was considered the best player in baseball.
Awesome. Right? Awesome. Great on defense, hit, run. He was everything.
He's played in 3 career playoff games, 0-3 in that series against the Royals. And I thought, how about the Yankees? You and I talked about this early in the summer. How about the Yankees making a move for Trout?
Yeah.
How about the Phillies? There are options out there. He wanted to stay with the Angels. He wants to stay with the same team his whole career and then not get uprooted. Anyway, let's update the Red Sox. No score at Fenway Park right now. Bottom of the first, and it looks like the Red Sox do have a runner on, but not much happening in that game. Mets lead the Pirates 1-0. Our top game tonight is in a weather delay, so we'll get to that a little bit later. But Will Hill, looks like the Braves and the Yankees are going to get started around, let's say, 5:15 p.m. Pacific.
And I like the Yankees tonight. I think it's a little cheap.
5:30. It's stopping back, moving back to 5:30.
I think it's a little cheap with Fried against Molly. Fried's a good pitcher. He's the better pitcher here. Mm-hmm. Yankees, a little bit of a new look lineup with Garcia. Ramos, Lombard looks a little different than a week ago. I think this is playable here on the Yankees. I bet the Yankees.
I thought the price is cheap, too. But you got to be a little bit concerned about the Yankees putting up runs. Their offense has been anemic, but I thought the price was cheap as well. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But Patrick Everson in studio next as we talk about Bet Bash and football futures.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, welcome back. Will Hill, Matt Humans here on a Friday night. VSiN Primetime. This is our final 4-hour show on a Friday night. We've got the crew coming back, Dustin Sweetelson, the Sports Gambling Podcast guys, and we will have 3-hour shows on Friday night. But Will Hill in studio for the first time ever. We've been doing these Friday night shows for years. It's great to see you in studio this week. And Will, the Red Sox have not scored yet. It's kind of surprising.
It is weird to see the scoreboard with the Red Sox game in those green uniforms. I know Chris Massaro, our buddy, the Boston Strangler, loves those at the Real Gauge on Twitter. But, no score. It's weird to see the Red Sox in a baseball game where they're not winning. But yesterday, Matt, 4 hours and 23 minutes into the game was when they had their first lead. Just kind of tells you how it's going for them.
That seriously might have been the best baseball game of the year last night. Red Sox 12, White Sox 11 in 13 innings. And I do agree with Chris on this. Red Sox are an iconic franchise. What are they doing messing around wearing yellow and green uniforms on some nights?
They look like Tulane or something. Yeah, it looks bad. Not a good look.
But can't argue with the way they're playing. The results, 26-3 over the last 29 games. Patrick Everson, lifelong Colorado Rockies fan, in studio with us now. Senior reporter, Vegas Insider, Fox Sports contributor. Follow him at PatrickE_Vegas. He's got about 1 million followers. I remember you way back when you only had about 5,000 followers. Now you're a big-time star.
I don't know about big time.
You are a Rockies fan, right?
Oh, I like the Rockies, but I can't even be lifelong because I'm going to be 58 at the end of the month, and they've only been around since I was about 20, 26, 20, or yeah about 26 like or so, 25, 26.
Not much to be a fan about with the Rockies either.
No, not really. It's been a long time. It's been quite some time.
What's your second favorite baseball team? Do you have another
Cardinals.
Team?
Yes, Cardinals. St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay.
And they usually, they with some regularity, give you something to be satisfied with.
You know what? We talked about this with Johnny Avello a couple nights ago. I'm not sure if you've tweeted or written anything about this. But Johnny and I were saying neither of us can recall in August a shorter World Series favorite than the Dodgers when they were plus 150. I can't recall it. Johnny couldn't recall it. Has there been a shorter World Series favorite than plus 150 in August?
In August, I don't think so. But, you know, keep in mind, the Dodgers started at a pretty short price after winning their second in a row. Probably a shorter price than most than we've ever seen in maybe not ever, but certainly one of the shorter prices we've ever seen preseason, you know, opening odds last October after the World Series ended, or November, whenever it ended. But geez, they just, you know, they dole out the money. They bring in the players. The number keeps getting shorter. You know, the Yankees looked like they were kind of gaining a little ground, but then they fell back and, you know, the traders adjusted after the screwball move. And, I certainly can't recall it. It's quite short.
And the Dodgers have dropped six in a row. Well, we're going to talk about that. Can they stop that losing streak tonight?
Yeah, it's amazing. That's what I was going to mention, too. It's, you know, we can just hand them the trophy. They got Scooble. They got this guy. They haven't won a game in a week. Mm-hmm. They're looking a little older, and they are a little older offensively. Have bettors you talk to or bookmakers you talk to found people saying, you know what, the Dodgers are short. That means they're too short, and there's value on some other team. The Cubs or one of these other teams that made some moves at the deadline.
Yeah, a couple things. First off, I talked with Eric Biggio at Caesar Sports and also with Hal Eglin at BetMGM about World Series futures kind of coming into the trade line and coming out of the trade deadline. And I'll first say that because of that price, notwithstanding the current losing streak and whether they can actually do this or not, generally speaking, the Dodgers are not necessarily a bad outcome for the books if you're just looking at straight bets. Where it becomes a trouble spot, and this is, again, this is from Eric Biggio at Caesar Sports, is, you know, the growing popularity of the futures parlays. And the Dodgers, you know, if you've got one leg left and it's on MLB, it's probably on the Dodgers. So that's their big concern at Caesars and probably elsewhere. But I thought one thing Eric said that's interesting. Eric is really insightful on baseball. He's a really good baseball odds maker and a good person to have a discussion with. But what they would really like to see is something that they might actually get, and that is the Rays and the Brewers. And Eric Biggio said, I think those are the two fundamentally best teams. It's not the sexy matchup. It's not Red Sox-Dodgers. It's not Yankees-Dodgers. But they would certainly love to see that. Now, that said, let's say the Dodgers go, you know, at least get to the World Series, whether they win it or not. I don't think anybody minds too much the Dodgers at least advancing far in the playoffs, because that keeps the interest up and the churn going. And you want a Dodgers, a Red Sox, a Yankees. You want somebody there that's going to keep people interested in coming down to the counter here at Circa or elsewhere.
I got to believe most bookmakers are going to be okay if the Dodgers win the World Series. You never get hurt on the futures board if a team, a favorite, or a short price cashes.
Exactly.
Right? So, all right, let's switch the topic. And Bet Bash, this is Bet Bash 6. Man, time flies. Spanky's done a great job with this event over the years. Patrick, were you a celebrity in the dunk tank today?
I had to pass on the dunk tank because I had to go home and write for a little bit after the prediction markets panel. I had to go home and pen a little article on that and actually grab about a 20-minute cat nap before I came back down here for tonight's festivities. But I passed on that. I did see some video footage, and it was quite intriguing.
Who was in it?
Well, I think Spanky was in at one point. I think Rufus Peabody had volunteered to go in.
I think Greg Peterson.
Greg Peterson volunteered to go in. Yeah. Oh, he did.
Was he?
I think I haven't seen footage yet, but I heard that George Panakis group wins, GRP group wins. First off, he was on target. I saw him. He can throw. He was hitting the target. He dunked two people. But he was supposed to be in the tank as well, and I'm sure a lot of people were lining up to take a throw at that, all for a good cause, Autism New Jersey.
Right. If Spanky or George hit the water, it's going to be a huge splash. If Greg Peterson hits the water, you're not even going to know it.
He'll be like a good diver. It's just the rip. You know, there's no splash.
Speaking of prediction markets, I thought this was fascinating. You tweeted this last night, and I heard that Billy Walters showed up. I'll say the world's most famous sports bettor, right?
Sure. I think that's a great way to put it.
He's in the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, obviously. Billy Walters, quote of the day at Bet Bash from legendary sports bettor Billy Walters. Patrick tweeted this last night, quote, "If prediction markets existed 25 years ago, then I'd be worth $100 billion," end quote. I love that quote. And he said that directly to you last night.
Yes, he said that directly to me after there was a nice panel, a kind of a Q&A / storytelling with Sam Panayotovich being the questioner and yeah. Vinny Maiulo being the the storyteller. And Billy Walters dropped in on that, which was great. It was great. And a few other luminaries were in there as well. And we were just, myself and Bill Sparrows, another journalist in the sports betting space, we were just afterwards, we were just chatting them up for a couple of minutes. And I'm not even sure how we got to prediction markets. Maybe I said something about, man, it's crazy how things have gone or something like that. And he just said that totally unsolicited. And I'm like, can I quote you on that? He's like, oh, yeah.
Did you get into any detail, like why exactly does he believe he'd be worth $100 billion if prediction markets were around 25 years ago? I get what he's saying, and I can. But did he talk in detail about that, or why?
We didn't go. No? Well, we were. I think Bill and I were so stunned to hear that. It was such a good. We knew it was such a good quote. I'm like, yeah. Oh, this is great. But I think he didn't go much further than that. And there were a bunch of people in the room, kind of biding for his time. We got lucky to get a minute or two with him. Solo, but I do think, you know, some of the responses to it, there was somebody who I thought kind of smartly responded, look, this is the thing with prediction markets, and I'm not advocating against them or for them, but you don't necessarily know who you're going against there. And if you're going against Billy, that's, you know, you may not want to be going against Billy. And I think that's what he meant. He felt like if he could be the one on the other side of these, getting what he wants and having people take him on, that would be a successful venture for him. That's kind of the, right. I think that's what he was intimating. He did not say that.
I assume that, but I just wondered if he said it to you, but anyway.
Yeah, and when the juice is lower and he's getting the best of the number, if he's, you know, laying four and it moves seven, you can be on both sides of that and obviously be in good position. Last couple minutes here, you've been around a lot of bettors, a lot of people in the industry this week. Prediction markets, do people think it's only getting bigger, better, stronger? Do people think eventually it's going to get backed off? What's your take? I've heard people make the case, you know what, eventually DraftKings and FanDuel might have to merge to fight these off. Just general sense here, prediction markets versus these other books.
That's a really interesting take. I hadn't heard that yet, but I'm not surprised it came up this week. Like I said, I'm not, you know, pro prediction book or pro sports book or anti either. I mean, even from my days writing editorials at the Review Journal a couple blocks away from here, I'm a big advocate of, I just want consumers to have as many options as they can have. And I want to see everybody, you know, try to do well. I want to see these businesses do well. I want to see Circa flourish. I want to see bettors be able to get a bet down and the public, you know, the general public bettors be treated fairly as well. It's going to be a Supreme Court decision. I think there's a sense that, you know, maybe the genie cannot be put back in the bottle and therefore they're going to have to come up with a decision that allows for this. But you never know with the Supreme Court, and, you know, it's going to be settled either next term or the term in 2028, either, you know, next spring or the spring after. I think it's hard to say, but I'll tell you what, I think at least a little bit of a concern is if the Supreme Court just says, no, you're not going to be able to do sports event contracts. I just wonder where a lot of these people who were here this week and talking about it and everything, I wonder what they're going to do. And I think what they're going to do is they're going to go offshore and they're going to go where they can get their money down.
Yeah.
Money goes where it's allowed.
I was speaking with Michael Roxy Roxborough earlier today. We were talking about prediction markets a few months ago, and he said ultimately the courts are going to have to decide you know, which way this is going to go. The president, I believe, has a rooting interest in prediction
markets. I think he does.
Right? We've got more with Patrick Everson. Stay tuned here on VSIN Primetime.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
The Circa Survivor documentary is heating up, and this week's episode is called Survival Mode. Week 10 arrives like a wrecking ball. A massive wave of eliminations tears through the field, and players who thought they had it figured out suddenly don't. Thanksgiving's on the horizon. Oh, that brings back bad memories. And a wrong call won't just cost the contestants the game. It'll cost you everything. $18.7 million is on the line. Watch the next episode Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. If you need to catch up, all episodes are on YouTube right now. Just search VSiN Live. Patrick Everson, Will Hill, Matt Eumanns here, VSiN Prime Time, wrapping up the first hour tonight. And Patrick, senior reporter for Vegas Insider, also for Fox Sports. Follow him at @PatrickE_Vegas. Patrick, we're talking about the football contest here.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the Circumillion has 1,500 entries. That's a decent number.
Mm-hmm.
Survivor has 7,000, just over 7,000. Grandissimo has 17. You've talked to a lot of different people about this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Derek Stevens, David Rossborough, Wilbo, others. Where do you think these numbers are going to end up if you had to make your best educated guess?
I talked about this with Jeff Benson earlier, not over the last couple of weeks. There has been a bit of a surge in the Survivor with Bet Bash in town and people getting entries in and all that. But what he said initially is, they've got the guarantee is $20 million, as you guys, I'm sure you've discussed on here. He thinks they're going to get 22 to 23,000 entries, which would be another 20% or so boost compared to where it was last year, 18,700.
I agree with him. My projection is 22,250.
I think that's okay. Based on how everything's gone and how popular the contest has been, and you alluded to it as we were coming back from break there with the Circus Survivor series, you know, kind of rehashing last year and so forth. It's just got an incredible level of popularity. So I think they're. I'm sure they're going to surpass the guarantee. You noted on the Circumillion though, all they really want is just to try to get to that 6,000 number. Mm-hmm. They've been a little bit short of it the last 2 years. And maybe this year they get to a point where there's no overlay, but that's all they're hoping for on that. And then on the Grandissimo, Jeff Benson said he thinks it'll be between 100 and 125 with a guarantee of, I'm trying to find the guarantee here, guaranteed 4 million. They're hoping for 100 to 125 at $100,000 a pop.
There's a Yogi Berra quote, that restaurant is too busy, nobody goes there anymore. In terms of Survivor, when people hear 22,000, 23,000, do you think certain people get scared off? Say, man, I'm going to go in for one entry going against 23,000 other people. Do you think that scares people off, or is it just so popular it doesn't matter? Everyone's in.
I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. I think it is so popular that they're going to get there. And, you know, Derek and his team, they know what they're doing. And I think they're going to get there where they want to be. But I certainly understand the trepidation and, you know, maybe wondering whether you take a look at one of the other contests around town where you might not be so swimming in it. I think part of the allure is Derek Stevens is a great casino owner. He's a great publicist. The guy could be mayor of the city if he wanted to be, but he's probably smart enough to stay out of politics to that degree. Just stay on this side of politics where you're lobbying people for, kind of the actions you'd like to see taken. But I think that's part of it too. It's just it's being in it. It's what everybody else is doing. It's so popular that people just want to be involved and hopefully get their shot and pray they're still alive at Thanksgiving and go from there.
All right, baseball update. Believe it or not, the Red Sox are running it up on the A's. Jarren Duren hit a homer over the Green Monster. I believe this is going to be out number two of the inning, a fly out to right field. But the Red Sox have a 3-0 lead on the A's, and Will Hill, when you see something like this, all of a sudden that -270 price when the game started doesn't seem like much, does it?
Yeah, -270 seemed expensive. Then the game starts, and we would both probably like to have that -270 in pocket. Mm-hmm. It's hard through the course of a baseball season, Matt, to make a profit when you're betting these $2 dogs, $270 dogs. Man, you got to win a hell of a lot of bets. Got to win a pretty high percentage to make money that way.
Right now, the live line of DraftKings: Red Sox -1850. And if you want to take a shot with the A's, you can get back 11-1 odds, but I'll pass. Patrick Everson with us. And Patrick, you're doing a lot of reporting on football futures and all sorts of angles. Tell us the best stuff you've got on the NFL at this point. Futures, win totals, anything.
Yeah, just did some updating on NFL season win totals.
By the way, is that a home run?
It could hit off the wall.
Off the wall. Red Sox score again. It's going to be 4-0, 5-0. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, this is a live show, and you got sports going on. Fire away.
Red Sox running up the score on the A's in the second inning. 5-0 Boston. Go ahead.
Go ahead, London. All right. Yeah, I did just this week some updating at Vegas Insider on their NFL season win totals, on the NFL season win totals piece. And right now, this is from Christian Cipollini, one of the trading managers at BetMGM, and he texted me yesterday that you know, what they're seeing as far as kind of the most bets right to this point as we kind of kick off the preseason on overs and creating liability on overs. Bengals over 9.5, Broncos over 9.5, Vikings over 8.5, Raiders over 6.5, which means that I think that number moved. As far as unders that are of note there that that are liabilities, Dolphins under 4.5, Cardinals under 4.5. And Cardinals, I know, are down to 3.5. So they have the fewest wins in season win totals of any team, which I don't think is that big a surprise.
Well, their schedule is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But that, the Cardinals are going to be an interesting topic for Survivor, Will Hill, because I think a lot of contestants think, oh, it's going to be easy just to pick on the Cardinals every week. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and that was a team a couple of years ago when Murray was hurt that people were betting against. Yeah. They ended up being a little feistier than people might think. Mm-hmm. But the Super Bowl futures market, I know before the Rams traded for Myles Garrett, Patrick, there was, I can't remember a year where it was so, I mean, we talk about the Dodgers being top heavy and such a big favorite. The NFL was the opposite, where every team was around 20, 30 to 1. It felt like half the league was in that category. The Rams have pulled away here. Is there a team that's popular? And just a general thought here, odds to win the whole thing.
Right. Again, this is from BetMGM's Christian Cipollini. And to your point, not only were there a lot of teams 20 to 30 to 1, but at the top of the board, it was like, there were several teams that were like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and now the Rams have created some separation where I believe at BetMGM there's no other team shorter than 10 to 1 than the Rams in that plus 500, plus 550 range. And at BetMGM, they are the most bet team and a small loser at BetMGM at the moment. But and they're going to be obviously a short price the rest of the way, provided they all things are equal, they stay healthy, that sort of thing. But as far as who's most popular at the moment, again, Rams number one in tickets and money. Bills number two in tickets and money at BetMGM. Broncos number three in both categories. Then the Chiefs number four in tickets. People are, you know, counting on Patrick Mahomes
15,
to come back.
15, 60 to 1. 15 or 16 to 1 is the biggest numbers you've seen on Kansas City in quite a while.
Yeah, you don't get a number like that on the Chiefs. And then the Bears are fifth in tickets. On the money side, San Francisco 49ers fourth. Bears fifth. So the Bears are certainly popular, you know, coming off an impressive last season and a couple of very entertaining playoff games. They came back in that second one, could have beaten the Rams there, but couldn't quite get it done. A couple of bigger plays of note, 10,000 on the Chargers at 16 to 1, 5,000 on the Giants, 66 to 1.
All right, quickly, how about college football futures? What
sure.
have you heard?
Got some Big Ten futures, and this is from Joey Fiesel over at Caesars. And I think the biggest thing to note there, and I'm also hearing this on national championship futures from Caesars Sports and from BetMGM, USC is popular again. USC is popular in Big Ten futures, popular in national championship futures. Also, what Joey noted is the first 2 years of these, you know, UCLA, USC, Washington, Oregon going to the Big Ten. Oregon wasn't a really popular play in Big Ten futures the first 2 years. USC was. But he said this year, right now, Oregon, number one in money to win the Big, not number one in tickets, but number one in money to win the Big Ten.
I believe it. I like the Ducks quite a bit. All right, Patrick, it's Sports Gambling Hall of Fame induction ceremony night. You've got a column up on this. Aside from Vinny Maiulo, our buddy who's going in tonight, V-Sin Vinny, who else is going into the Hall of Fame?
All right, I'll run through them real quick. Bob Black, first couple of these are going to be posthumous inductees. Bob Black, he was widely regarded by peers and bookmakers as one of the sharpest bettors of his era, born in 1928. And then Stephen Diano, better known as Fats, you know, well-known sports bettor. Richard Klamian, former sportsbook manager at the Stardust. So that's where his claim to fame was from. As we mentioned, Vinny. Mort Olshan, pioneering sports betting figure and founder of the Gold Sheet. Yes, founder of the Gold Sheet. Bill Scott, founder of Worldwide Telesports. Not a lot of people know about that, but they're going to learn a lot more about it tonight if you go. And Dr. John Trejanis, he was an environmental scientist, graduated first in his class at California Institute of Technology. And he went on to apply his expertise in stats and modeling to sports. And he helped pioneer data-driven game prediction.
How many speeches we get through? It's going to be tough to top Jeff Whitelaw's speech from last year.
It will be tough. I hopefully nobody gets the Mike Palm Oscars ceremony ushering off there. The music comes in and we'll see.
Follow him at @PatrickE_Vegas. Patrick Everson, appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Quick break here on VSIN Primetime. Back with hour number two on the Sports Betting Network.